prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival, and Melody will join us here in just a couple minutes. She had to take a phone call, so welcome to today's broadcast. It is for August 2023, a beautiful day here in the hills of good old West Virginia, and I hope you all having a good day also. I don't have the market report, so Melody will join us in a few minutes. I'm sure to bring us update on that. There's a lot of things happening. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you get a lot of big stories, and then sometimes you get a lot of little stories, and sometimes the things are kind of dead. Well, today's been kind of in between. Things are happening, and a lot of things comment on. And of course, you know, we give you all our opinion on political items and news items. And that's all I can do. I certainly don't have enough intelligence to give you the final answer to anything, but I give you my opinion on things. And I'm sure Melody joins in a minute. She'll bring us up to date on the markets, on the middle markets, whatever, but since she's not here just yet, I guess I can go ahead and start on a couple of stories, if y'all don't mind, that I think are interesting. These are first two political stories. And, of course, as always, Trump is in the forefront. As always, Trump's in the forefront. And I don't know whether that's good or bad for him. I seem like the more they try to close him down, the better his polls get, if they can be trusted. It's just amazing. But anyway, among mega extremists, Trump charges draw big talk, but small crowds. As Donald Trump left Thursday for the arraignment on a third criminal indictment, he fired off his social media post telling his supporters that he was showing up to a D.C. federal courthouse for you. Few returned the favor. Many people have really given up, said Steve Corson, 66, of Fredonia, Arizona, standing alone outside the courthouse in We the People hat. A starkly different experience from January 6, 2021, when he marched to the U.S. Capitol alongside thousands of other Trump fans. For all the online outrage, only a handful of Trump supporters turned out to protest the latest charges against the former president, continuing a shift in the right-wing fervor that once drew thousands of D.C. to D.C. rallies, clogged lakes with boat parades, and mobilized a de facto MAGA militia and the armed groups that took his extremist rhetoric to the streets. These days, Trump's appeal endures. He's the front runner by far in a crowded field of 2024 Republican hopefuls. But those once flashy shows of public support have been scarce, even in a moment when Trump faces monumental legal fights on his way to a presidential race he has described as the final battle. In a post last spring, the Trump predicted potential death and destruction if he were criminally charged. A statement extremism researchers called dangerously incendiary, but also out of step with a reality where even his most devoted supporters are rising up in significant numbers to defend him. What's that going to mean in the future with him? I don't know, folks. I really don't know. I don't try to predict anything in the future, what's coming down. Will he be convicted? I don't know that. If he is, it'll be a very odd thing. If he is convicted, it would mean, in my mind, even more so that he's not an insider. Insiders don't get touched. We can name any names on that, obviously. From Clinton, Obama, right on. So in my mind, if Trump is convicted of these crimes, that proves to me somewhat that he was more or less on the outs with the so-called swamp. And Melanie, you come back and just holler when you're in
maybe,
there.
Okay, maybe, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe he did something to them. Did you ever think about that?
You mean did something to the swamp?
Hey, look at Epstein. Look at Epstein.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what
did
he do? They left him, you know. So, I mean, they do go after their own if their own don't obey, you know, if they done, either they don't obey or they done something to them that.
Well, the only thing I put on the plus side for Trump is from the day before the days before he was elected, before he was even elected, they come after him with everything they had. And I have, if this is meant to be done to boost his ratings, I guess it's worked. But anyway, go ahead, Mel.
I don't think that's it, you know. I do believe he was part of the elite. So you have to ask your question. So either he lost him billions of dollars somehow, because that's what it all comes down to. He became more of a, liability.
That's a good possibility.
I used to think, I did at one time believe that he could be different. Because he said everything that I wanted to hear.
Sure.
But, we don't know. We never will know.
No.
I don't think we will ever know where his heart really lies.
Just have to wait and see what turns out on this. But I just know that his support didn't show up like everybody thought it would. The barricades were put up and all these things. The police force wasn't needed. So I don't know what that means.
But the thing of it is, personally, why would you?
Well, yeah,
you know, because that type of police is looking to make a point with those who do support them.
So I'm just waiting to see what this whole boils down to.
Yeah. So I mean, it would look what they've done to. I mean, you know, it's. You know, it's one of those cases where you're darned if you do and darned if you don't.
And DeSantis, we're going to share his story next, a political story, is even, using harder rhetoric than Trump ever did in some of his speeches. But I know you want to take care of the markets and metals. You go ahead first.
You know, so, it's, and you know what? The thing of it is, it's all a distraction, too.
Of course.
I mean, it's really amazing. And, I mean, it is a big part of history, and everybody wants to follow that and everything, but yet look at everything else that is being lost in the midst of things. So let's go ahead and get to the precious metals. We had gold up today, 780 at 1942. Silver was up a penny at 23.67. Platinum was up $7 at $929, and palladium was up two at $1,292. Little weakness in the dollar, 102.05, down 0.43. Crude oil was up over a buck at $82.64. Paper markets, they were all doing very well. The Dow was up 150. The S&P was up 23. And the NASDAQ, I'm sorry, these are all down. The NASDAQ... Why, you know what? I was just switched from a different site, and they showed all the stock markets higher, and I switched to get the more current one, and they're showing all the markets down.
Huh.
So that one website doesn't want people to know. So I'm going to hold off. I'm assuming CNBC is accurate. It's down 150 on the Dow. The S&P was down 23 and the NASDAQ down 50. The European markets were all positive. Asia was positive. 10-year yield, that's down 0.145 at 4.044. So it's still a little over 4%. And, of course, natural gas is 2.58. So I will take another peek at these paper markets to see exactly where they have finished at. And but isn't that – and you know what? How can people believe anything that they see on the Internet? I mean, I went from one very popular website that still shows everything in the green, and I just switched over to what I'm used to, and everything was in the red. So, folks, you got to look around, and you got to check to see what's going on. And I think the big news of the day – let me see if I can pull that up. Was the U.S. economy added 187,000 jobs, lower than expected. Non-farm payrolls expanded. Everyone was expecting 200,000, so it wasn't that far below. The unemployment rate was 3.5% against a consensus estimate that the jobless level would hold steady at 3.6%. Average hourly earnings rose 0.4%, and healthcare, social assistance, financial activities, and wholesale trade were the leading sectors for job creation. You know, and I can see healthcare. I mean, heck, you got the baby boomers all going to be, you know, getting sick, and you know, as those baby boomers get older and older and older, so I can see that happening. And so that was the major impact. There's an article by Reuters today that said the U.S. companies are actually hoarding workers because as the economy cools. So this is another reason why we would see perhaps discrepancies in some of these reports. When storms hammered California's farms last winter, Kevin Kelly knew his small factory outside San Francisco would soon see demand wilt for plastic bags, it turns out, for pre-cut salads and other produce. In the past, he would have swiftly chopped 10% of the workers that run his bag-making machines, or about 15 people. But it's been such a struggle to fill jobs during the boom, he didn't cut anyone this time. He says, I knew it would be hard to find people when business came back, let alone train them. So he held on to his employees and found ways to curb their hours, including cutting overtime. So we have employers across the U.S. that are making very similar calculations. You know, they're being faced with the tightest job market in decades. Many have become less trigger happy with layoffs, even in the face of a cooling economy. And so... it's kind of interesting. So, again, it would skew the numbers that we see in some of these reports. So I think that was kind of interesting.
It really is. And, you know, that's a tightrope to have to walk, to hang on to 15 more employees you're paying for doing less work because you're afraid you can't find anybody to replace them later on. That's a toughie. Because his earnings are down. And he knows that. So that's a tough decision.
Yeah, there was another company. Kent International, they laid off about 60% of the company's South Carolina plant at the end of last year. Now they're regretting it. He says they thought that when we were ready to rehire in March, we would have no problem ramping up, but only about a third of the workers returned, and the company is now scrambling to find and train new employees. The company currently has 85 workers, but they'd like to have 110. People just aren't working.
No. I drove through this morning.
People just don't want to work.
Well, they don't want to work. And I was offered a job this morning at Wendy's. I'm serious. I drove through to get a chicken biscuit before I went to the gym. And they said, you know, you want to work. We can't find anybody. They were joking, but they were halfway joking. Said, I will put you to work. That's really sad, Mildy. That's really sad. It used to be a young'un's place where lined up to get a job in the summertime. You know, make extra money. That's not that way anymore.
No, it isn't.
It's really sad.
So it's so again, this is the economy, and if people think that this is a strong economy,
Well, so, if DeSantis has his way, he's gonna change things. You know that, right?
Who knows?
DeSantis said DeSantis calls for slitting throats in government.
Well, I'm sure he didn't mean rhetoric. It literally.
You don't think not? Anyway, so the two largest federal employee unions on Thursday denounced Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' recent vow that as president, he would start slitting throats in the federal bureaucracy. The latest escalation in intensifying Republican attacks on government operations as they want to slash or eliminate. DeSantis, whose campaign for the GOP nomination has included promises to downsize agencies and fire bureaucrats, something Trump said, made the comments this weekend in New Hampshire while criticizing this deep state, echoing a term regularly used by former President Donald Trump to deride Washington. On bureaucracy, you know, we're going to have to all these deep state people. We're going to go after them. You know, we're going to start slitting throats on day one and be ready to go, DeSantis said at the barbecue in Rye, New Hampshire on Sunday, hosted by former Senator Scott Brown. You're going to see a huge, huge outcry because Washington wants to protect its own. The governor also mused last week about the possible need for the defense secretary to slit some throats while discussing changes he'd make at the Pentagon as president. On Thursday, as those comments drew more attention, two prominent unions representing tens of thousands of federal workers called DeSantis to retract his words. Tony Reardon, national president of the National Treasury Employees Union, which represents 150,000 employees at the Internal Revenue Service and 30 other federal agencies, called the comments repulsive and unworthy of the presidential campaign trail in a statement. Well, I got to make a comment here, Melody. I didn't know that the IRS was represented by a union. I had no idea.
That was what?
The represented by a union. The IRS are union employees. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
The National Treasury Employees Union, which represents about 150,000 employees at the IRS and 30 other federal agencies. I didn't know they had unions to protect him. And I don't think
why would they need unions? They've got the government.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think government, we know they're not really government employees anyway. We know that. The IRS is a private agency, a private collection agency. We know that. This proves that point even further. But why do any government employees need unions? Schools have them. Why? I'm not saying that they don't need maybe some help from time to time from being railroaded, but they're paid by our tax dollars. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at things wrong here. But the IRS has a union that represents them.
Be interesting to look into and get some more details on that.
That is interesting. I read that. I was kind of shocked.
But you know what? There is something about DeSantis, though. I believe him. It's weird. I mean, when he says these... For some reason, I believe him. And I don't, you know, he doesn't have a personality. You know, he's not all warm and fuzzy. He's not a likable guy. And that's what our politics have come down to, is who we like. Well, that should be furthest from the thing. Should be who should get the job done, whether you like them or not.
True.
You know, but they've turned it into a personality contest instead of a leadership position. But there's something about him that, I don't know, compared to the other ones that are running and so forth, and that's our choices, I believe him.
Well, you may have a chance to find out sometime in the very near future if the world goes on long enough and we have an election, which I'm still wondering about. We'll have to wait and see on that.
I mean, I still like Tim Scott, but you know what? He's been there too long. And the other guy that I can't pronounce his last name, his first name either, I like what he has to say. He's a possibility, but I just don't hear the conviction. I don't hear the, you know, anyway.
Well, you may be right. Time will tell. But on the other hand, where the IRS are being represented by unions and pretty much got it made, more Americans say they can never retire. Now, I run into this personally. I know people, I'm sure you do too, that simply can't afford to retire. They're still working in their 70s. A growing share of working Americans don't think they'll ever retire, recent survey suggests. Retirement is a time-honored life stage and near universal expectation in working America. But a comfortable retirement requires saving, and many workers fear they don't have enough. In a July poll conducted by Axios and Ipsos, that's break time on you. My gosh, okay, back in the break.
We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And you know what? Right before the program, I started reading an article. I didn't get it finished, so you know, might talk about it on Monday, but it was about how Saudi Arabia is buying the world. As the kingdom's model of capitalism without democracy thrives, the prospect of a Saudi century has consequences for us all. And you know what? It really is scary. You know, we're all focused on China. We all focus on Russia. And here's Saudi Arabia. They're just going around buying up everything, creating, making billions of dollars. I mean, look what they've made from the United States. Look what they've made from the taxpayers. And look what we ended up with, a fiat currency worth nothing. We can't even fix our roads, and they're building these trillion-dollar cities, future cities, buying up everything, and all we focus on now is China. China's done, you know? They've got what they got, and they're going to do what they're going to do. But here you have Saudis, and I guess in some respect, they've got it all anyway. And if they don't like what you say, they just kill you like they did Khashoggi. So, I mean, and nobody talks anything about these Saudis. It's the world is, I should say, the United States is not the United States anymore.
Oh, no, no, no. And, you know, we actually built Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely, of course, China. With our fiat dollars.
Absolutely. We built them. We did.
Yeah.
We did. And now
they were nothing but dirt, desert.
Agree. I agree. Now they're prospering beyond means, and the wealth and the extravagance is unbelievable. But we did it. We promised them dollars for oil, and that's what we got. And now they tell us what to do, don't they?
Yeah. They're doing weapons and oil, and, you know, it's, yeah. We have a, who, what was it Biden or was it blank, Janet Yellen, who, somebody who bowed down to him?
Oh, that was Yellen, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I think Obama did too. Didn't Obama? One of them did. I don't know.
I don't know for sure on that.
So, anyway, it is kind of a frightening article. And but anyway, so I'll share it. I'll finish reading it and share it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, go back to the retirement poll. In July, a poll conducted by the Axios and Ipsos, 29% of workers under 55 answered a retirement query with, "I don't think I will ever retire." Asked why not, three-quarters of that never-retire group said they could not afford to stop working. A smaller share said they didn't want to. How to make the dollars and cents of retirement work is a constant balancing act for those who are retired. And Americans are hoping to reach that milestone one day, said Clifford Young, president of ISPAS Public Affairs. Another survey from the Employee Benefit Research Institute found that one-third of workers now expect to retire at age 70 or later or never. And I know that that's true. I certainly know that's true. And it's just a sign of the times. And, you know, in a way, maybe it's not all bad, Melody. I do believe people stay active, live longer. I don't know that they have better lives as far as material possessions. But staying active makes a difference how long you live and really the quality of your life, does it not?
Absolutely, it does.
So, I don't know. And another topic.
And stay off those drugs as much as you can. Those pharmaceuticals, stay off them.
Absolutely. Yeah, do what you can.
Only do what you need to do, but if you can get off them, do what you have to do to get off of them.
And it takes work to do that, folks. You just don't fall into it. But I know many people have retired and sit down and done nothing. 2 years later, we're gone. You don't do that. You can't do that. That's why I try to work out the gym 3 times a week and stay active, move around, trying to raise a few head of cattle or whatever. I don't want to sit down and just wither away. I don't want that to happen. I may pass away tomorrow, but I want to enjoy the day if I can. And another article said, the beat goes on. Another bank has collapsed. That wasn't on ABC News. Another trucking company has collapsed, and U.S. consumers are tapped out. Go ahead, Melly.
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Okay. Said, should we be surprised that we are witnessing so many failures all around us? After all, the mainstream media claims that the U.S. economy is doing just great. Of course, the truth is that the economy is not in good shape at all. Those in positions of power have been desperately trying to prop up the system, but continue to steadily fall apart. Earlier this year, we witnessed the second largest bank failure in U.S. history, the third largest bank failure in U.S. history, and the fourth largest bank failure in U.S. history. The Federal Reserve implemented extreme measures in an attempt to keep more banks from failing, but now another one has failed. On Friday, Heartland Tri-State Bank collapsed, and the FDIC took control and arranged a sale. Heartland Tri-State Bank of Eckhart, Kansas, failed on Friday, with the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation taking control. The FDIC agreed to assume all the deposits of Heartland Tri-State Bank to protect customers, entering a purchase and assumption agreement with Dream First Bank of Syracuse, Kansas. That means that the four branches of the Heartland Tri-State Bank will reopen the branches of Dream First Bank on Monday. This is a pattern that has emerged. When a bank fails, the government is going to arrange for it to be absorbed by a bigger bank if possible. Overall, this will lead to an unprecedented wave of consolidation in the banking industry. And, folks, that's exactly what they want. It's called monopoly. The trucking industry also falling. We'll go talk about Yellow Freight, what's happened there. So 30,000 workers laid off from Yellow Freight and looking for jobs. But another bank failed. That wasn't mentioned. I've seen anywhere in news anywhere that anybody knew about it. They didn't say, well, a bank failed in Kansas in the middle midsection of the country. That wasn't talked about. It was done quietly. The bank was absorbed into another bank, and we'll see what happens whenever the bank that took it over, the Dream First Bank, decides to collapse, or find a bigger bank to take them down or take control of them. That's where we are, folks. America's economy is collapsing every day. Melody, when you look at the idea that the CVS is closing down, I think 400 stores, laying off 5,000 employees, that's a pretty good chunk, isn't it?
Certainly is.
So, you know, and Freight Line, or Yellow Freight, laying off 30,000 workers, shut down their terminals. That's a big chunk. How do we keep being told on ABC News or CBS News or CNN News that commie's booming? I mean, are we really that ignorant? And that willfully, I should say willfully ignorant to want to believe that? Wow. Biden preparing to declare a pandemic-like climate emergency, energy industry insiders warn. Now, this is not coming from left-wing whoever. This is coming from energy industry insiders. Democrat President Joe Biden administration preparing to declare a climate emergency with COVID pandemic-like restrictions on public freedoms. Several energy industry insiders are warning. Energy industry groups fear the Biden White House is planning to declare a pandemic-like emergency that will grant the president sweeping new powers. They're leaning to that direction, U.S. Oil and Gas Association President Tim Stewart told the news. If you grant the president's emergency powers to declare a climate emergency, it's just like COVID. A climate emergency declaration could give Biden and Democrats vast and unchecked authority to shut down everything from communications to infrastructure. They can literally do exactly what they did in COVID. If you disagree with the climate emergency, speech can be shut down. We really need to be paying attention to that because that power could be extended indefinitely until the climate emergency is over. Yeah, okay. But who knows how long that will last. President Biden and other administration officials have said that the United States and the world are in the midst of a climate crisis and have used language describing it as an emergency. So far, Biden has stopped short of declaring an emergency. However, some Democrats and environmental groups have been aggressively pushing the idea. After 60 congressional Democrats recently backed legislation known as the Climate Emergency Act of 2021, the bill sponsored by Democrat Representative Earl Broombar of Oregon would require the Biden administration to make a climate-related emergency declaration. Last week, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres upped the ante by releasing a fear-mongering new message. As Slate News reported, Guterres declared that the era of global warming has ended and the era of global boiling has arrived. Using adjectives that included terrifying, Guterres said UN member states must turn a year of burning heat into a year of burning ambition. A number of corporate media outlets, including the Los Angeles Times, have floated proposals. Now, folks, pay attention. As for purposely implementing blackouts to help solve climate change. An article published last week by British left-wing newspaper The Guardian calls on the Biden administration to declare a climate emergency and states that it must do so now. Stewart recently laid the L.A. Times article on similar reports as part of a propaganda war. He says it's designed to condition the public to think people it is their duty to the state to be miserable, cold, and hungry. Folks, this is coming. Man, they talked about things before, and it took them a little bit of time to put together, but they did it. This is coming. One day, you will probably your power will be turned off for a period of time to save energy and save the planet. You may have to do that power 8 hours a day or 12 hours a day or whatever, but it is coming. It's coming. Million comments on that? Okay, I don't know if she's there now. Are you there, Mel?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Any comments on the article?
No.
Okay. Now, this was proposed 10 years ago, and it finally happened. Incandescent light bulbs are banned as of August 1st. Gas stove and water heater bans are coming next. Now, folks, all this is happening. Look, I read to you about the climate can change emergency. This is coming to America. It's already started. August 1st, because of Biden's executive order, so to speak, incandescent light bulbs are illegal to sell in retail stores. Water heaters could soon be subject to much more stringent efficiency requirements if a recent Department of Energy proposal that has been criticized by Republican vote lawmakers goes into effect. As of August 1st, the Energy Department will fully enforce new efficiency regulations that the old and incandescent bulbs can't meet, effectively prohibiting the retail sale. Over half the country still appears to be using mostly incandescent lighting. The Energy Department is proposing new efficiency standards covering gas stoves and electric stoves and ovens. Biden's Department of Energy is planning to ratchet up the minimum efficiency standards for gas-fired water heaters, oil-fired storage water heaters, and gas-fired instantaneous water heaters. The new rules are as set to take effect in 2029. Air conditioners, dishwashers, washing machines for clothes, and dryers are also targeted. Water heaters could soon be subject to much more stringent efficiency requirements for a recent Department of Energy proposal that has been criticized by Republicans. Even folks, we're going down a bad road here. This is something that people just can't grasp yet because we haven't seen it. But now, as of the 1st, which was Tuesday, you can no longer buy incandescent bulbs legally in retail stores. Well, New York City is banning gas stoves in new properties. This is what's coming down to. We're seeing a total control over people in every aspect of their lives. 15-minute cities, how you spend your digital money, how you heat your house, do you heat your house, what do you use to heat your house, how many hours a day can you have electricity? All this is coming to America. It's already started. And Melody, I think that's your concern. That's what do you think?
You know, they tried to do this on those bulbs years and years ago.
Yeah, about 10 years ago. Yeah, yeah.
I went out and I figured out, well, this bulb lasts this long, so I'm going to need. I went out and I bought tubs and tubs of them because you can see better with them.
Oh yes, you can.
Yes,
you can. I bought some extra ones too. Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was prepared for it. But now they got all these other lights in there that the LED lights and so forth and whatnot, but they're so much more expensive. Gee, do you think that could be the real reason?
And in my opinion, the lighting is not as good. It's harsher.
Yeah.
It's not as good. It's not as good. And did you hear this mention on the news channel? They're going to outlaw incandescent bulbs August 1st. Did you hear it mentioned anywhere?
Yeah,
any
I did.
Channels?
I did.
Did you? I didn't. I didn't hear that.
It's actually Fox.
Oh, Fox mentioned it. I didn't hear it anywhere else.
This morning on Fox, yeah.
Oh, this morning. But it's already done. Yeah. Did he mention it last month when something could be said about it? See what I'm saying?
I don't know what the final deadline is, but I don't know.
The deadline was August 1st. The outlaw is of August 1st, this past Tuesday.
Well, we're just reporting it today.
I know. I knew a couple of days ago, but I wasn't on your show then. Mm. Or yesterday I knew it. But anyway.
I knew about it 10 years ago, 13 years ago.
Yeah, we knew about coming back then. They delayed it for a while, but yes, I hear you. You know, this next article, so many times I read something, I think, this didn't dawn on me. Why didn't I see this? And after you read it, it makes perfect sense. Sabotage, Chinese code hidden in U.S. military systems. China can cut off military power. Now, folks, I'm going to read to you. You understand what I'm talking about in a second. But I should have known they can hack, of course. We knew that, but this never dawned on me this could happen to the military. United States officials have discovered Chinese malware on multiple military systems that experts claim was intended to disrupt the U.S. military and may give China the ability to cut power, water, and communications to U.S. military bases. This is for folks from U.S. officials saying this. According to the New York Times, experts have warned that the recent malware attack used a different form of code that has the capability of disrupting both military and civilian operations, enabled departure from previous malware attacks that were limited to surveillance operations. During a recent intelligence and national security summit, the Deputy Director of National Security Agency, George Barnes, stated, China is steadfast and determined to penetrate our governments, our companies, our critical infrastructure. The New York Times reported that the new malware has the potential to allow China to cut off the access of U.S. military bases to power, water, and communications, as well as impact homes and businesses throughout the United States. National Security Agency Director of Cybersecurity, Rob Joyce, has described the new malware as really disturbing. Yeah, I have no doubt this is true. I hadn't really thought about that, Melody, happening, but no doubt it's true. I'm sure China had been working on ways to disrupt our computer-based economy and our military. And one thing about it, maybe the electronics are better. Maybe the computer has ways of making things more efficient, but they can also be hacked, can't they?
Well, they certainly can. And I also heard this morning on the news that they've arrested two military men in California. I'm not quite sure which area they were in for trading secrets with China.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of course.
Wow. So, I mean, if you really think that these were the only two that's ever done that, you can probably look to Washington, D.C., you know. to some of our past politicians in there that, you know, probably have done the same thing. But anyway, yeah, so it's I can't even imagine what some of these places are, these countries know that they're what they can do. We'll be right back. I hear the music. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Going down to take a look at me. Come on, baby. Don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And did you hear that there was another bombing and a targeted warship, Russia warship? Did you hear that? That's the next story.
That's my very next story. How about that?
Boy,
you're on top of it too,
aren't you? Can I read minds or what?
I tell you what, you're good. Really good. Let's get that story done because I think it's kind of an important story. I really do. Russian warship blown up by kamikaze Ukrainian drone, leaving massive hole inside of a latest humiliating blow to Putin. That may be true, but I don't know how many humiliating blows Putin's going to take. The target of the warship is said to have been sustained significant damage. While a different video showed the Russian naval landing, I'm not going to try, Olenkorsky Korna being towed towards the harbor after it sustained significant damage. The blast in the port was seen some 450 nautical miles from Kyiv-held waters where the drone was likely launched. Vladimir Putin's force deployed two warships to counter the strikes. Ship movements in the key Novorossiysk, the second largest Russian run after St. Petersburg, were halted amid the drone strikes and sound of gunfire. Two Russian naval vessels landing ship, Gornikorsky Korniak and anti-sabotage boat Servovets were deployed to shoot at the incoming surface drones. Local reporters seeing a bright flash over the sea and explosions. This was close to the facilities of the Caspian Pipeline Consortium, a major international oil pipeline system which delivers oil from the western Kazakhstan to Black Sea terminals in Novorossiysk. Explosions were reported after midnight and also closer to dawn as Russian air defenses worked. So, really, I mean, okay, they're taking to them in the sea now, too. I don't know what that means exactly or how far this is going to go before Putin says enough is enough, Melody, but that's it's still escalating, is it not?
It certainly sounds that way. I think you mentioned that they had already shot down 10 of them.
It's amazing. Now, so, Russia's turning again to North Korea to replenish ammunition supplies. Yeah. And that may be true. I'll read the article in a second. It may be true. That certainly could be true. But I don't believe it all the way yet. As fighting Ukraine depletes stockpiles on both sides, Moscow is looking to Pyongyang for help. Russia is looking to buy more ammunition from North Korea to replenish its dwindling stockpiles amid Moscow's ongoing war in Ukraine, U.S. said Thursday. Last Security Council spokesman John Kirby said that any arms deal between North Korea and Russia would be a violation of several United Nations Security Council resolutions. Well, wait a minute now. Are we not doing something else when we ship weapons to Ukraine and NATO's involved doing the same thing? Are we violating any UN sanction or resolutions, do you think?
You think?
I mean, if Russia can't get support from North Korea, how can we get support to Ukraine?
Yeah.
That's a fair question, isn't it? That's just a fair question.
It is.
He added that the U.S. would continue to identify and stop Russian efforts to acquire ammunition from North Korea. All right. How are you going to stop him? Or any other state that might be prepared to support the Kremlin's war in Ukraine. How are you going to stop him, Mr. Biden? You going to throw a purse at him? What are you going to do? This is yet another example of how desperate Russian President Vladimir Putin is becoming because his war machine is being affected by the sanctions and the export controls, Kirby said. He's going through a vast amount of inventory to try to subjugate Ukraine. The revelation, which was based on declassified U.S. intelligence, follows a visit by Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu to Pyongyang last week with the aim at reaffirming their military partnership. Well, maybe they are doing that. I'm not saying they're not. But frankly, it's none of our business. We're supplying Ukraine. NATO's supplying Ukraine. Why can't North Korea as an ally of Russia supply Russia? What's the difference here? Oh, I understand. We're the good guys. We're the bad guys. That's what the difference is. Comments, Melody?
Nope.
I mean, that's hypocritical. No wonder people laugh in America. No wonder. You probably saw this on the news. This has been making news the last couple of nights, but it's important enough that I'd like to share one here. Cities that welcomed and illegals and want to sanction them, bring them in, give them sanctuary, are crying for help. They're begging for us to bail them out. I said us. That's U.S., me and you, U.S. New York City's Roosevelt Hotel becomes epicenter of city's 60,000-strong refugee crisis and shocking scenes from Manhattan. Hundreds of migrants have been sleeping outside of Manhattan Roosevelt Hotel for a second day in a row, and New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the crisis is not over. Swaths of asylum seekers, hailing from a number of South American and African countries, line the streets sleeping on cardboard overnight because the migrant hotel has reached capacity. I want a better life, one migrant told DailyMail.com from the quay outside the chaotic migrant epicenter on Tuesday morning. The immense number of migrants arriving from southern states continue to rise as a result of policies that caused thousands of asylum seekers to overrun the U.S.-Mexico border. New York City is currently housing more than 56,000 migrants across around 200 makeshift sites, while thousands more are in the city's shelter system. But buses keep arriving week on week, transporting people from the border. The Roosevelt Hotel, which was shuttered 3 years ago, is one of the several hotels that have been transformed into emergency centers as the city struggles with the influx of migrants. New York is bound by decades-old consent decree and a class-action lawsuit to provide shelter for those without homes. Melody, why is the government's job to shelter people without homes? Why should government be involved in sheltering and people without, why should the government be involved in feeding the poor or anything else? That is not the government's duty at all. That is not their realm of authority. It's to feed the poor and house the poor. That's not their realm of authority. They're just to govern the country according to the rules of the country, which is the Constitution. They're not doing that, though, are they?
No, they're not. I mean, what they should be doing is picking them and feed them. Take them back to where they belong.
I agree. Put them back on the bus. Take them back down south. Exactly.
Take them back to where they belong.
I agree. It says, as a result, the Roosevelt Hotel and others have become hubs for refugees within walking distance from Times Square, the World Trade Center Memorial Site, and the Empire State Building. Over the weekend, the migrants were handed small red tickets with digits on them, and once in a while, hotel workers would come out and call numbers to let people inside the air-conditioned lobby. Others, desperately pushing closer to the front to get inside, were left to wait outside in the New York City heat. The desperate people looking to get inside the hotel early on Tuesday morning were speaking a number of languages, including Spanish, French, and Arabic. By the way, I read on another program in the morning a 1994 article from a government official saying they were concerned in 1994 about the illegal Chinese crossing the border from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And they even outlined how they got here and how it worked. But anyway, Malmuth, a migrant from Dungane in Senegal, had been waiting on the streets of New York City for 5 days, desperate for a spot to rest his head. He told DailyMail.com, we're night and day here. I don't know what's going to happen now. Sevi Kalei from Mauritania arrived in New York 2 months ago before being transferred to Ohio and moving back to the Big Apple. He was living in the Magna Hotel in Queens before being thrown out. He told DailyMail.com for the online on Tuesday, they moved us out, all of us out. They said that they wanted to move the family in. Kalal was then put into one of the city's shelters, but has tried his shot at getting into the Roosevelt Hotel. He added, my friend said they've been here 3 days. They slept here in the street for 3 days. I want a better life. I wish them a better life. We are suffering in our country. You're not helping us not either, honey. We don't have nothing to protect us from the heat. We can't stay here night after night. Application process is so slow. Since the morning, they haven't even taken one person. More people keep coming. When asked why he wants to migrate to the U.S., he said the country is a place of freedom and dignity. And to sleep on the streets, and there's a place of dignity. Okay. All right. Wow. Melanie, comments on that?
No, I don't. That's right.
And now they want to take Central Park and turn it into a tent city.
And, you know, who are these people in New York? I mean, you think they would be screaming?
You would think so.
You think?
Well, I mean, there's prostitution, drugs, everything going on. Right on the main street, main drag in New York. I haven't heard anybody crying about it yet.
No,
anybody demanding anything. I haven't. Illegal migration jumped 30% in July, but Biden was going to close down the borders. Border migration numbers spiked 30% in July amid claims that by President Joe Biden's pro-migration border chief that new policies are reducing illegal migration, according to the Washington Post. The numbers were revealed by preliminary data collected by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection data, said the Washington Post. U.S. agents made more than 130,000 arrests along the Mexican border last month. Preliminary figures show up. That's up from 99,545 in June. Wow. The inflow has jumped in Arizona, partly because the Texas government is trying to block movements across the Mexico-Texas border. Large groups of migrants from Mexico, Central America, and Africa have been crossing in recent weeks through the deserts west of Nogales, Arizona, to surrender to U.S. agents, straining CBP holding facilities and transportation capacity. The inflow comes as border officials are being ordered by top officials to not stop or block migrants, but to focus on re-registering and releasing the migrants into the United States. I don't want to add to that. I mean, they're not even trying to stop them. They register them and turn them loose in the country. Of course, I'm sure they give them a free telephone and a free credit card.
Sure, they do. Absolutely, they do. Free travel vouchers, hotel vouchers, food vouchers,
all that. And guess who's paying for that? And very quickly, a couple more articles before we go to the good news article. Hungarian foreign minister says EU expects to fund a war in Ukraine for another 4 years. Wow. At the cost of $5 billion I don't know if it means pounds. I don't think it's pounds per year. They're going to fund the war for at least four more years. And Ukraine gained momentum.
That war is not going to go on for another 4 years.
I don't think they'll be allowed to. Ukraine gained momentum as new Russian threats loom. Ukraine appears to be gaining momentum two months after beginning its counteroffensive against Russian invaders, despite grave obstacles looming in their near future, according to several new indicators. So we'll see. I don't know where they are or not. I am not there. And Poland sends combat helicopters, extra troops to border after the Belarus military violates airspace. Remember, Russia said that if Poland invades, we'll take Poland's land and take it into our possession. So, folks, here we go. Poland accuses Belarus of having flown two helicopters into its airspace, accusing the Moscow-aligned nation of escalating the tensions and responding by deploying more troops and its own helicopters to the border. Another hotspot growing in this area. That's the way you're going to say. How terrified Putin is being blitzed by drone attacks from air and sea as Ukraine launches 120 strikes in just 6 months. It says a fearful Vladimir Putin is under attack from Ukrainian air and sea drones that are bringing the war achingly close to his doorstep. I don't think Putin's too terrified, just to tell you the truth. I really don't. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't see him sitting there shaking his boots anywhere. I truly don't. I don't think he's going to tolerate much more of this. I mean, when they start getting hitting New Moscow and cities, that really is taking the war to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long they're going to tolerate this. I mean, in my opinion, I believe Russia could take Ukraine down in a heartbeat, even with America's help. Without military intervention as far as directly from the U.S., I don't think Ukraine can stand very long, do you?
I wouldn't think so. You know, maybe it's just a matter of they're just waiting to see who actually does fire the first shot.
It could be.
I mean, yes, the first shot has been fired between Russia and Ukraine, but I'm thinking about taking it to the next level.
And let's just pray it don't get that way. But anyway.
I know.
A little bit of good news. A blind woman asked for help and was told, "That's not my job." So this officer stepped up. A commuter witnessed a New Jersey Transit police officer going above and beyond the call of duty to assist a blind woman in need. The commuter told New Jersey Transit police that the blind woman asked an employee from another agency to help, but it was turned down as being told, "That's not my job." Now, how cold and crude is that? That's when she saw Officer Segan Gallagher walk over to assist the woman. "I walked over and asked her, 'What's wrong and how can I help you?' And I immediately didn't notice her eyes were closed," Officer Gallagher recalled. The woman told him she needed assistance getting food and coffee and that she was feeling faint. Officer Gallagher gave her his arm. The two navigated Penn Station together. They talked along the way, and he assured her that she secured her food and coffee. Gallagher told News 12 that she was very thankful for the help. "We share this act of kindness as a great reminder," the New Jersey Transit Police said. "Even a small gesture can make a positive difference in someone's day." But can you imagine the callousness of that one individual saying, "That's not my job. You're blind, you're hungry, you can't do anything. No, that's not my job."
I can't imagine.
How callous. But thank God for Officer Gallagher who stepped up. "Honey, what do you need? We're going to take care of this." There you go.
Nice story. And that brings us to the end of the work week. And we'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me